Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A two-segment program today, and we begin talking about the events happening in Sutherland tomorrow, the Sutherland Stampede. Terry Brock, the association president for the event, also Cody Clark, who is the Royalty Court chairperson. We're going to start with Terry, and I'm sure you guys are going to be incredibly busy between now and tomorrow and probably beyond that for a few days.
Yeah, that's true. Kyle, thank you very much. It's been a busy time. You know, we've been working away on the grounds and stuff and getting ready for Bull Ride number two. You know, we're with the basically kind of reformed Sutherland Stampede. A little bit different than the Stampede of the old days where, you know, we're kind of working on some limited capacities and so on. So what we've done is we've had the honor and the privilege to bring in Jason Maddox, Challenger Champion Bull Ride Tour. But fortunately, he had a spot in his schedule and has been able to fit us in. Last year was a blast. This year is going to be even bigger and better.
And a lot of people pretty excited about this. Now, you have more going on, including a parade tomorrow. Tell me about that.
Yep, that's right. The parade will start at 10 o'clock, and we're still looking for entries. There's no pre-registration to this thing. So if you think you want to walk, ride, bring a critter or something, join us. Come on down at Taylor and Hastings. About 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll get you pre-registered, get you in place. And then 10 o'clock, we're going to hit Central and just parade right down the middle of town.
So how long is that parade route?
It'll be, what is it, Cody, about a mile and a quarter?
About a mile and a half from Comstock to the park.
Yeah, a mile and a half. So pretty good route, a chance for a lot of people to get out tomorrow when the weather's going to be perfect for doing that. Daddy, did you have the parade last year too?
No, we did not. No, last year was our first year of kind of bringing the Stampede back. So this year we thought we'd just go ahead and go out on a limb and put this parade together. It's funny because the community is just eating it up. You know, you talk about Stampede, you talk about anything that has to do with the Sutherland Stampede, people are all about it. So we mentioned the parade, and we got people that are entering, we got people that are waiting and anxious to see what comes down the street.
All right, so what time's the parade starting?
It'll start right at 10 o'clock.
Now, going back to the original event, how far back did it start for the original Stampede?
So, sorry, I'm going to jump in. So, I've been involved in the rodeo for a little bit longer than Terry, and the rodeo started in 1991. They officially became a nonprofit in 1993.
Wow. So, went on for a long time, a little bit of break, and then getting it going again. Now, let's talk about what you're doing with this.
Yeah, so I'm running the royalty that we're trying to bring back. So we're going to bring back a queen and a princess this year. We have 3 queen contestants and 6 princess contestants.
What's the age range there?
So the queens are 16 to 20, and then the princesses are 9 to 15.
And what have they done to, how did they get involved? What, you know, how would you have to go through a process-wise to get them signed up?
Yeah, so they had to go through an application process. They applied in July, and then we go over those. We're pretty open and willing to let anybody try. So the princesses actually don't even have to have horse skills or any horse ownership to try out this year. So that really opened up a lot of doors for a lot of little girls that love rodeo.
Now, I think if I remember when you were in here recently, you did this when you were younger.
I did. I was queen in 2012, so it's been a minute.
And what did you get out of that experience when you were the queen?
Oh, my gosh. The biggest thing was being able to see yourself through children's eyes and to see, like, other little girls that you remember being like and just their love of rodeo, and they love coming to these events. And you just really get to be, like, a hero for them. So you're a superstar in their eyes, and it's the best thing in the whole world.
Now, did you go on from that to do anything, any other competitive things like this?
So I continued on. I barrel raced at a local level for quite a while, and then now I run a riding school.
Wow. So what led you to jump in and want to help with this?
So it kind of died off in COVID like many things did, and then I heard that Terry was starting back up the board and they wanted to bring it back, and I know, like a mosquito to one of those little lights, I could not avoid going to the next meeting.
And what's been, it's been a lot of work to get through this, right?
Oh my gosh, a ton of work. And then this year we added back the queen competition. We added the parade. They're adding a mutton busting clinic at 4. there's just so many things that they're trying to add back. So even though it is just technically a bull riding, there's also so many things that the board has been working on bringing back this year.
And Terry, how many people are on your board?
Well, we have 7 people on our board right now. And even beyond that, we've got a bunch of people on committees. We've got different people that are doing different jobs. And we are wide open. If you're interested in being a part of the Stampede, if you have a passion and you're willing to put in the work and so on, come on down and join us. It's a good group to work with, for sure.
So take us through kind of what happens beginning at 4 o'clock.
Starting at 4 o'clock, we're going to open up the gates. And I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about tickets. You can pick up your tickets. And honestly, I would pick up tickets right away. If you're in Roseburg, probably Coastal would be the closest place to get them. But if you're in Sutherland or anywhere in that area, run down to DC Precision Lube and pick up your ticket. They're $15 there. But if you wait and try to pick one up at the gate, it'll be $20 if there are tickets left. We sold out last year, and I wouldn't hold off. I'd get your ticket pretty soon.
And this facility, then, the space is definitely limited. It's not like you could just stand off to the side or something.
Well, we allow a little standing room. The seating's a little bit limited, and that's been kind of a challenge. And that's something that we, as a board and as committee, we've been working on, is trying to increase that capacity. But now we have so many tickets for sale, and once they're gone, we're sold out.
And how many folks are involved in the Challenge of Champions of this event?
Well, there's all the board, all the committee, and then Jason. Jason Maddox comes in, and I'll tell you what, if you have not seen his show, and even if you have seen his show, they do such a fantastic job. Jason's probably got a dozen crew members running around and making sure everybody stays safe and stays entertained and stuff. He has an incredible announcer. Brian's coming back this year, and I was super excited about that. And Jason's just a man of men. They just do a really good job. So I'm going to say all together, tonight you'll probably run into probably about 20, 25 people that are working the event and so on.
And how long does it last? All of this begins at 4. You get into the bull riding at what time?
Well, so gates open at 4 o'clock. We've got our mutton busting clinic. And if kids want to get involved in that, they are welcome to come on down, get registered and stuff, meet the sheep kind of a deal. And then Cody will be working with her court, you know, during that time. And promptly at 7 o'clock is when the bull ride will start. And it'll go about an hour and 45, hour and 50 minutes. So right about 9 o'clock will be the end of it.
So a lot going on out there.
Absolutely. And I don't want to forget the after parties at Kelly's Cozy Corner there in Sutherland, too.
Somehow I figured after an event like this there would be an after party. I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, I know. It's just kind of, it's the cowboy way, right? So another thing too, Kyle, if you don't mind, I'd like to shout out Adcox Heating and Cooling. That's our featured sponsor. And then also Gary Faddis, Gary and Hunter, Stacy, with Bugling Heights Design is our parade sponsor.
All right, so a lot of things going on tomorrow. If people want to find out more, and you mentioned getting tickets today being a big deal, but if people want to find out more, where would they go online?
So if they want to go online and buy tickets, that's going to be at the Challenge of the Champions website. If you just Google Challenge of the Champions, Douglas County, Oregon, you will find it. I am 100% sure.
All right, very good. Terry and Cody, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right, 12:44, second segment in a moment on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240. Thank you again. Inside Douglas County, 12:47, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Our second segment today, Javier Caltenco joining us from the Small Business Administration, talking about the help that is being given by what you're doing here. Javier, thanks for coming in.
Yes, thank you for inviting me here.
So we had that big flood event in March. I think everybody remembers that day well, and for some people, it was an annoyance, but for some people, it was really a life-changing situation. I'm aware of folks who just had severe damage to homes and property, and it's not something that you dig out of lightly. And so from a recent disaster declaration, then SBA has been able to come in here and provide sort of a field office, essentially. Talk about what you're doing.
Yes, we we currently have a disaster loan outreach center here in the city, because we want to be able to help the individuals who were the survivors, you know, who were affected. We want to make sure that they get personalized assistance. So we have three representatives there. They can assist with questions, filling out the application, as well as, you know, down the line if they need to upload any documents. They are there to assist the community.
Now, Small Business Administration tied in, you probably go around. You do a lot of traveling, I imagine.
Yes, I do. I was in Texas. I was in Oklahoma, California, and now I'm here.
So have you been home much lately?
No, not at all.
Wow. So stayed busy doing this. I know that for the type of help some people need, there's a lot of paperwork, and paperwork can really bog people down, but it sounds like that's where your folks can help out.
Yes, actually, the loan process has improved. It used to be a lot. It was used to be a long process. Now it has. They have cut it down. It's all on the system, and that's why we recommend anybody who needs to apply, come and use the center that we have available. They can help them with the computer. If they don't have an email address, they can create an email address for them and help them through any obstacles that they may have.
Now, I imagine that given that the event was in March, we've already gone on a ways. There's probably a timeline where they've got to get this done by, right?
Yes, that's correct. So we do have a deadline. So we at the Small Business Administration, we have two different types of loans, right? One is the physical damages. So anybody, so homeowners, renters, nonprofits, and businesses of all sizes who had any physical damages to their property. So it could be like real estate, machinery, equipment, supplies, things like that. They need to apply before August 25th of this year. For the economic injury disaster loan, which is more geared towards the businesses and nonprofits, they need to apply before March 24 of 2026.
And if somebody comes in, how long will it take? How much time should they allow if they're going to come in?
I would say usually if they know pretty much, for let's say a business will take a little longer than a homeowner or a renter. So therefore, I would say between, just give it at least 30 minutes.
And what
it should probably be a little less, but just give them 30 minutes.
And I imagine it would be really helpful to already have some paperwork with them to bring in.
Well, they don't necessarily have to bring any paperwork, as long as they know most of the information that they're going to ask is they already have, which is their name, their address, the address that was affected, and possibly, if they have an ID, they can scan it there as well. They don't have to have, like, their tax returns. They don't have to have them, but...
So they don't need, like, a damage estimate already?
They don't, because that's just the beginning process. Down the line, they will have, most likely, they will be asked to see if they... they can say, okay, the damage was either... like a small, just to give an estimate of what the damage was. That's all they need. They don't need to have like you mentioned, they don't have to have that. No, they can just give an estimate.
And now tell folks where you're at. You've got one office that you're in, and then a couple short-term situations too.
Yes, correct. I don't want to say permanent, because we don't know when we're going to close that center, but that center right now is at the Roseburg Public Safety Center here in Roseburg, and that is open Monday through Friday 8 to 4:30 p.m. And we also have we are going to open two different disaster loan outreach centers, one in Myrtle Creek, and that's going to be open on Monday and Tuesday the 14th and the 15th between 9 and 4 p.m. That's only 2 days. And then we also going to have one in Drain Civic Center. That's going to be Wednesday and Thursday. and that's going to be open the same hours, 9 to 4 p.m. We are also planning to have a Q&A session in Drain, the city of Drain, at the Drain Civic Center on Tuesday between the hours of 6 and 7 p.m.
So a lot of opportunities there, and by being out in Drain or down in Myrtle Creek, that should help some of the folks that maybe driving is more of an issue.
Yes, that's correct. And we want to tell survivors that, yes, these are loans. They need to be repaid back. But see it as a way of, it's an option. It's an option to recover. Don't see it just as a loan, because we have many different things, ways of possibly being able to help you. For example, we have on a case-per-case basis, some people may be able to refinance. On a case-per-case basis, some people may be able to relocate as well. So those are options that normally you would not think that the Small Business Administration would have, but we do have that. We also have mitigation improvements. Therefore, if you need to rebuild your property, you can request an additional funds to make your house more resilient to other natural disasters.
Wow. And now you've probably got teams that travel around the U.S. doing this all the time.
Yes, we do. Right now, we have different disasters in California, in Texas, Missouri, Oklahoma, here in Oregon. So we do have a big staff, yes.
And this has got to be kind of an interesting job to have, especially all the travel and seeing a lot of different places.
Yes, sometimes we get to see some very nice places. Oregon is beautiful. The nature here is beautiful. So I really enjoy, sometimes on the weekends I get to know a little bit more about Oregon. So it's very nice.
So is this your first time to Oregon?
Yes, it is.
And are you guys just going to be in the Umpqua Valley, or are you going to other places in the state as well?
Okay, so we do have, there is another declaration, there's another county, and I apologize, I don't know the name of the county, but we do have another county, it's on the east side of Oregon that was also declared. And right now, we don't know yet, but it's a possibility that there may be another declaration for the fires, the wildfires that happened kind of like east of Portland, Oregon.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty recent. So, all right. So if people want to find out more ahead of just showing up or whatever, is there a way to get connected with you?
Actually, they can go to the SBA website, which is sba.gov. They can also, if they want to apply online, instead of going to a center, they can go to lending.sba.gov as well. We, as I mentioned, we recommend people to use the centers because we can actually help you probably a little bit better there and answer your questions. And the centers will be open once we have met the people's needs, then they're probably going to close. So if we don't see people coming into the centers, then it's probably going to, they're probably going to decide to close the center sooner.
All right. And again, your hours for the one in Roseburg?
Yes, it's going to be, the one in Roseburg is Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30 p.m.
All right, Public Safety Center, it's in the top floor there in downtown Roseburg. Javier Caltinco from the Small Business Administration with the federal government, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And listen, next week we've got a lot of things set up for Inside Douglas County programs next week as well, so keep your radio on, a diverse amount of topics around to cover here in the Umpqua Valley. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.